Hello and welcome back. We are on section 2, chapter number 5, influencing factors for international business. Now, what is the learning objectives today? You're going to know about the various factors that impact or affect the international business, understand and know the implications of economic factors, learn about technology as an influencing factor for and its relevant aspects. Understand and know the implications of political factors. Learn about the laws or legal aspects that influence the international business. And understand and know the implications of cultural factors. So let's begin. Now, in the opening case that you have over here, talks about a classic example of how some of the IT companies have gained during this pandemic. All of these companies did not expect this drastic sale in the normal times, but because of the pandemic, because of how people are forced to be at home, how people are, you know, they can't move out of the homes, they have to have a home office sort of thing. The work from home culture has come in, the schools also have come to your home. Now this has created a drastic demand in the PC segment, the personal computer segment, where your laptops, desktops are concerned. And this has led to a high demand for all these products. So please go, please read through this case study. It is very interesting to know. Now, to introduce this fact, this today's topic. Now, there are different types of factors which will be which exist, which will affect an international business. There are economic factors. There are technological related factors. There are political factors. Of course, there will be legal factors and not to forget the cultural factors. Now, it may be noted that all these factors can either be either a single or a combination with other factors may impact this international business. So let's understand all these factors one by one. Now, this is a factor, these are the factors which we are going to talk about later also. This is just a brief preview. Now, the economic factors would contain basically the economic size of a country. The differences in cost that every country has in production of a particular product. The currency value, how the currency value fall and increase may affect economic, may affect international business. And definitely the market size. The larger the market size, it is more beneficial for a company to get into. There are technological factors which talk about the country's image, how the country wants to portray itself as a technologically advanced country, or as a technological developing country and so on. So basically technological development status, industrial scenario, what is the current industry scenario which is in the country, science and technological indicators which also help you to decide how to move forward. In the political factors, we also will talk about the political policies, how political policies are going to affect international business, a type of country's economic system, how the system by itself, the political system which exists is going to affect the business. Political system and disputes which disrupt trade and investment, we're going to talk about that also, because there are a lot of disputes which may arise due to the political system. Then we're going to also discuss about the legal factors. Now, what are legal factors? Legal factors will include the country's image of how the legal framework is in the country, the technology development status, the industrial scenarios, and science and technology indicators. We are also going to talk about the cultural or behavioral factors, how culture and is going to affect how a business manager will take into consideration the anthropologies and psychology and the sociology, which can help the business manager to understand the values, attitudes, and belief of that particular country and henceforth plan his particular business. Now, talking about economic factors in depth. Now, classification of world economy is based on the GNI. Now, what is GNI? It is gross national income per capita. Now, it is basically a sum total of a lot of factors. Now, if you see, if a per capita, that is the GNI per capita, is less than 1035 USD, then that economy is considered as a low income economy. If the per capita is between 1036 USD $1,036, but not exceeding 4045, that is $4,045, then this can be considered as a middle, lower middle income economy. Then upper middle income economy would be, which is more than $4046, but again not more than $12,535. And a high income economy would be something which is more than $12,536. Now here are some examples of GNI, that is the national income per capita. Now low income economies, some of the economies which have less than $1,035 as the per capita is Afghanistan, Burundi, Haiti, Malawi, Niger. The lower middle income group economies, some of the examples are like Angola, Kenya, India, Morocco and Philippines. Then there are upper middle income economies which include Argentina, Belarus, Brazil, Indonesia and South Africa. The high income economies which have per capita of more than 12,536 include Australia, Belgium, Israel, Japan, UAE and USA, and not to forget the UK also. Now there can be other aspects also related to the economic factors. So other aspects are, which will be mostly within the country, is the GDP, that is the gross domestic product, and its growth rate, how that is growing. Okay, the inflation in you have to also consider the wholesale price index and the consumer price index. There's also extent of domestic savings and investment. What is the investment and savings pattern of the people who stay in that particular country? Definitely not to forget the balance of payment or BOP, which as you know, so it will help you to understand how the trend is, what are the deficits, and of course the fiscal deficits which are there in every country, which is normally notified during the budgetary sessions. Now economic system of a country also will depend on the way the country's resources are owned, like who's owning those resources, whether it is mainly owned by the public at large or it is owned by the government at large, the public in the sense the private ownership, so or it is owned by the government. So that also will define will be a helpful factor. The way country takes decision as to what to produce, how much to produce and how to distribute will also be another important factor which you need to keep in mind. Now here are some of the type of economies. Their economies can be broadly classified into three main segments, which is the market economy, which is also known as a capitalist economy. The commonest example would be USA or Japan. The centrally planned or controlled economy, which you can take an example of China or Cuba, and a mixed economy, which will be normally most of the European countries which you find are on a mixed economic pattern. So let's understand this. Now what is a market economy or a capitalist economy? Now in a market economy, the private firm or the individual own means of production. So the liberty and freedom is given to private firms or individuals to own the means of production. What to produce is answered by the consumer, because that will be defined by the demand of the product or the demand of the service. How to produce is again answered by the industry sector, because the industry growth, industry movement will define how it has to be produced. And the firm produces the goods and services which now consumer are now willing to or will be able to buy. Now also, what would be the role of government in a market economy? Now the government role primarily is to pass laws to protect the businessmen and the consumers. Now it cannot be that the government is only in favorable of the businessmen and not considering the consumers. So the government has to create a balance of laws which will protect the businessmen as well as the consumers. Another important purpose, to issue money. Now there is a systematic process, if you can Google out, there is a systematic process how money is issued. So the government major role also would be to issue money, to provide certain facilities to the public at large, which is for example your police services, you know, and other health facilities and so on. Repairs and maintenance of state properties, which is definitely providing infrastructure, is also one of the major role of the government. And to prevent monopoly for few firms and restrict power to of trade unions. So both ways, by if they create monopoly, that will affect the consumers. If they create, if the trade unions are created, then definitely that will affect the businesses. So it will also, the government role also is to prevent monopolies, new firms, and to restrict power of trade unions. Now, what are the advantages of market economy? Now, primarily advantage, goods and services go where they are most in demand. So the demand will drive or move the market. Wherever there is a demand for a particular product, the goods will move to that particular destination. There is no need for overriding authorities to determine allocation of goods and services. So authorities will not actually interfere in your movement of goods and services. The owner is free to sell the goods and services. Producers and consumers are few to make changes to suit their aims. And finally, the competition and opportunity to make a large profits, greater efficiency and innovations. So there would be definitely, if there are some economic advantages, there would be some disadvantages also. Now, this kind of economy creates inequality of income, because there is a possibility of income of or money getting accumulated with a few people who own some resources, and the larger mass at large can be without income, not competent in providing certain services. Now, if the government is not able to provide certain services, this economy will not flourish. So the government needs to provide a proper infrastructure, a proper balance of other things, which will help this kind of economy to flourish. Leads to inefficiency, market imperfections. Now, definitely, if there are some people who are going to invest and some going to start production and produce a particular type of good, this may lead to some sort of inefficiency, because there can be sometimes reduction in healthy competition. Encourage consumption of harmful good, which is drugs. Normally, this is one of the biggest disadvantages which is there. So normally people will tend to get into all this consumption of harmful practices. So the government role would be to curb on this. Misallocation of resources, normally, because there would be resources which would be diverted to a few people. Now, there also can be some economies, this is the second type of economy, which is called the centrally planned or the controlled economy. Now, classic examples would be of this economy is China and Cuba. Now, here what happens, it is the opposite of what we saw before. Here, the government owned all the means of production. So, all the means of production is controlled or owned by the government. Individuals are not allowed to own any property. All property will be the part and parcel of the country or the government. The government plans or makes choices about what to produce, how to produce, and to whom to produce, and who will produce it, and who will buy it. So all this is channelized through the government planners only. So what to produce, how to produce, and how it will be distributed, and who will get those benefits will all be decided by the government planners. Price cannot change without state instruction. Normally the price will remain stable and will be in that particular position. It will not be governed by the demand and supply, because all these factors are controlled by the government planners. So in this kind of thing, what is the role? The role of the government will be quite large in this kind of economies. Now over here, most of the decisions which are there is made by the government. So you will find most economic decisions with those on top of the hierarchy giving economic commands to down the ladder. So basically government will try to control everything, whether it is production, whether it is distribution, whether it is selling. The plans organizes and coordinates the whole production process in most of the industry. So there will be little freedom given to individuals or private corporations to basically plan and organize their own production schedules. The the state will employ most of the people, and they will tell how they are going to guide you how to do their jobs. So basically the government role, if you see, has increased much drastically in this kind of economy, this kind of controlled economy. The government is the one who will decide everything for you. You have to only implement it. coming back to the advantages. Now here there will be more equal distribution of wealth and income. Now as we saw in the previous cases, there would be a tendency of few people getting richer or wealthier, and accumulation of income would be with a few. But over here in this kind of economy, since the government controls all the factors, most of the distribution will be equal. The wealth will be distributed equally, the income will be distributed equally. Production is rather for the needs than for the profits. Here the government is more focused in providing for the needs and not in generating of huge profits and so on. Now long-term plans can be made taking into account range of future needs such as population changes and the environment. But again, this also will be the government's role, and the government will take active role in the long-term planning. If the government is foresighted, they will take active roles because they have an opportunity to take this kind of decision which will impact the future. Now if there are advantages, again there would be some disadvantages. Now disadvantages of a centrally planned or a controlled economy would be a vast bureaucracy in employing such as supervisors and coordinators and planners. You know, the whole chain of government will be there because there is no private interference in this kind of aspect. So there's a whole range of bureaucracy which will be existing in this kind of economy. People will be poorly motivated because they know that they are going to get X factor after completion of a particular task. There is no scope for improving the lifestyle. There is no scope for improving the income or increasing the income and so on. So that's why the people will get poorly motivated. Planners are often get things wrong. Shortage of supplies of some goods. So in this kind of economy, sometimes the planners can forecast wrong because this is all will be based on their experience and how they handle the particular situation. So in some cases you will find that some goods are in shortages while some goods are in surplus. This is normally which can happen in this kind of economy. And of course all this may lead to also a poor standard of living. So the standard of living of the people will be much lower than in the other cases. From this kind of closed or controlled economy, we move to a mixed economy, which you will find examples in most of the Western European countries. Now here there would be a balance between the state provisions and the free market provisions, or more or less equal proportion, where there will be enough of state owned companies as well as the privately owned companies. Now the government decides the degree of mixing, how much they want, how much private and how much public investment they want. The government decides how much business activity in private hands or in the public hands. The classic examples which are given is Sweden, UK, most of will follow this kind of economy. Now some resources are allocated by the government, but most of the other economies are through the market system. Now mixed economy and the Indian context, or the role of the government. Now the main role of the government will be to set laws and rules that regulate economic life. Like some of the rules which we have in India are the SEBI rule, SEBI which we have, then the IRDA rule which controls the insurance related matters, the TRAI which controls your wireless network related issues and so on. So it provides certain services like education, police facility, defenses and healthcare that is taken care by the government. It ensures also a fair competition in the private sector. Now it makes harmful goods illegal. If you find most of the products which are harmful for the health of the public will be either illegal or banned, or they would be attracting high taxes. The public sector in a mixed economy is responsible for more of supply of public goods and services. The central or the local government will take decisions in allocation of resources in the public sector. The private sector though will make production decisions based on basically the demands of the consumers which they get. So if you see in a mixed economy, both the roles are very well defined. The government has a particular role, and also the private sector is allowed to make decisions on their own. Now, in a mixed economy, governments are generally argued to have, you know, four main macroeconomic goals. This, first of all, they have to maintain full employment. Now, maintaining a full employment is a major role of the government. If the government fails in doing that, then it is a failed government. It also has to ensure price stability, how the price is moving. There cannot be a sudden increase in certain prices of certain products. Too high inflation or too low prices is also going to affect the economy on the whole. So the price have to be more or less stable. It is said that a moderate amount of inflation is good for the economy. But then again, if the inflation is too drastic, then it is going to affect the economy on the whole. Also, to achieve high level of economic growth is one of the major rules or major thing what government will look into, major goals of the government. Also, to keep exports and import in balance. Now, the government has to ensure that the proper balance is made, because this will also ensure your balance in the BOP. So if the proper export and import is not in balance, then there would be definitely some sort of disturbances in your BOP. So the government has to increase or promote more of exports if they find suddenly that the imports are rising up, and vice versa. So there has to be this proper balance. Now, moving on to technological factors now. Now, the technological factors, basically, it is the image of the country which you want to depict as a technology provider. Now, there are certain countries like Finland, Switzerland, Sweden, Norway, and New Zealand. These are some of the top five countries, basically, which are into technology. And they have portrayed themselves to the world as they are a technology providing countries. Now, talking about technology also follows a cycle. Normally, the cycles are divided. The whole cycle is divided into five stages, being the awareness stage, the acquisition stage, the adaptation stage, the advancement stage, and the decline stage. Now, what happens in the awareness stage? Now, in the awareness stage, the service providers are basically aware that there is a particular technology which is available. The service provider will try to maintain large amount of knowledge intellectual internally with them. That happens in the awareness stage. In the acquisition stage, the service provider will now try to acquire more technology or try to enhance their knowledge or try to enhance their skill. The service provider may have alliances. They will start making up alliances, collaborations, which will be basically to acquire more technology. And this all will they have to see whether this is feasible in the long term. That is about the acquisition stage, where they will start acquiring a lot of more technology. Then comes the adaptation stage. Now, in the adaptation stage, the service provider will try to adapt and get used to all this technology what they have acquired. The service provider can make any changes or fine tune the technology according to the market requirement or market demands. They have the ability to provide customized or market specific technology because of this acquisition. So this is about the adaptation stage, where they will try to adapt the technology as per the market demands. Then there's the advancement stage, where the service provider is looking for an advanced option of for technology, but what that they have acquired or they have adapted from. So once the advancement stage is done and they have reached at a particular level of stability, then we see the declining stage, which is basically the last stage of the technological cycle. Now, in this, the service providers are concerned about the declining technology and the changes posing threat to the existing technology. Now, this is the time they will start adapting new technology. Now, in the process of acquiring or getting the technology from the service provider, they need essentially to see where they stand as of now. If the technology is getting obsolete, they need to upgrade themselves with the new technology. Where the countries or the industry stands as a technological service provider. Now, if some of the technology is getting obsolete, again, there's a chance again that you acquire new technology or you get into R&D and you enhance whatever technology you have. Now, some of the other aspects about our technological development factors are where we talk about international business is concerned is how much expenditure done on R&D. R&D means research and development as a percentage to the GDP. Now, if the country is more open to R&D, that means they are going to be definitely advanced in technology. Because every time you find a technology getting some technology which is getting primitive, there is some sort of R&D which is done, and again something new has been developed. So expenditure on R&D as a percentage to GDP, which will be very important. High technology exports in value terms as percentage to manufactured exports. So how much technological goods are being exported? This also will be an indicative factor. Number of patents application filed. How many patent applications has been filed? How many trademarks are owned? How many any charges for the use of IP? What are the charges which have been collected? All these factors also will be beneficial to understand. Now, this is a classic example of which people can quote for centuries is the COVID pandemic which happened. Now, any unforeseen event which created this basically the COVID-19 pandemic which caused has created opportunity of a new kind for all these technologically driven companies or all companies which are providing technology. Now, after the lockdowns were imposed, restrictions in travel, people could not move out, they had to stay at home. There was a concept of work from home which has now become the new norm. People are talking about work from home. There's also school from home and so on. So all these things have led to, you know, the drastic increase in sale of personal computers, which we saw in the opening case. The sale of personal computers has gone up drastically. Just refer to the old one, how this technological companies have gained during this pandemic and how drastic the increase there has been in the sale because of the high demand by the consumers. Thank you.